Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, please, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. During the course of this month, we'll have a little bit of a prophetic emphasis. We have such in scripture memory, and I'd like to spend a few weeks preaching through Matthew chapter 24, Lord willing, unless he comes and interrupts the series, which will be great. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3, the third verse, it reads, Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3 reads, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Let's bow for prayer. O God, we bless you for your faithfulness. May we be found faithful to thee, O God. And I pray as we spend these few moments within your holy word, I pray that you would instruct us and encourage us to be a faithful people before a faithful God. O God, I pray that you meet each one at that point of spiritual need. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. We find here in the third verse of Matthew chapter 24 that as our Lord sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples asked our Lord a number of questions. This elevated area known as the Mount of Olives was rightfully called the Mount of Olives because it was full of olive trees and olive presses. And the Mount of Olives faced the city of Jerusalem. In fact, you have even to this very day an unrivaled view of the city of Jerusalem. It's found on the east side of the city. And as you look down from the Mount of Olives, there is a gate known as the Golden Gate. And it was and is believed to this day by the Jews that through this eastern wall, main gate, the Golden Gate, that the Messiah would come and enter Jerusalem, the city. Now today this gate is closed, well and truly, and there are also countless graves in front of this wall. And this is to stop the Messiah from entering in, according to the Muslims. But I can assure you it's not going to stop the Lord Jesus coming back. How futile. And as the Lord Jesus is there, seated on the mount, the disciples asked him a number of questions. Now, the Lord Jesus, according to verse 1 and 2, has just come out of the temple, departed from the temple, and the disciples were overwhelmed with the beauty and the splendor of this Jewish temple. And the Bible teaches us the second part of verse 1, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. They were absolutely enamored with the beauty of this temple. And the Lord Jesus burst their bubble. In verse number 2, he said, "There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And it's with that they meditate upon what our Lord has just told them, And while there on the Mount of Olives, the disciples asked our Lord a number of questions. The first question in relation to that statement concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. And note then the third verse that they said, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" In other words, the disciples privately asked the Son of God, "When will the temple be destroyed? When will the temple be destroyed?" Now here in the book of Matthew, our Lord doesn't answer, it's not recorded that our Lord answers their question, but it is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, please, chapter 21. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 20 to 24. Luke chapter 21, verses 20 to 24, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." The disciples asked our Lord, when will this take place? And there in the book of Luke chapter 21, our Lord makes reference to the Gentiles coming in and destroying the city and taking captive a multitude. Well, this destruction of Jerusalem and the temple took place in 70 AD when Titus, the Roman general with his army, destroyed the city of Jerusalem. By fire, the city was destroyed and thousands upon thousands of people were killed and thousands of people were taken captive as a result. The fulfillment of our Lord's words took place within 40 years of his ascension back to glory. Now, the only part of the Temple Mount that still exists today, is known as the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. And this was part of that wall that surrounded the temple itself. And this today is a very sacred place for the Jewish people. It is where they offer their prayers and worship their God. Jewish people come from all over the world to worship God at this wall. The only portion of the city that still stands today. And according to Jewish tradition, note, it is said when the temple stood, the world was filled with awe of God and appreciation for the genius of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. The Talmud, which is the oral traditions of the Jewish people, the Talmud teaches that when the temple was destroyed, all the gates of heaven were closed, except for one. The Gate of Tears. At the wall, Jews have always poured their hearts out to God. Thus it became known as the Wailing Wall, because of the centuries of endless tears shed by Jews yearning to rebuild Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem today, listen carefully, there is an organization called the Temple Institute. Make a note of that. The Temple Institute. They have plans made up. They have furnishings made for the rebuilding of the temple. They are now training priests to conduct animal sacrifices, as they did in the Old Testament scriptures. The Jewish people want that temple rebuilt. And if I read my Bible correctly, and I believe that I do, that during the tribulation period there will be a temple rebuilt. And we'll say more about that in the week or two to come. Now, where will that temple be rebuilt? Well, it can only be rebuilt in one place, on the Temple Mount. At the moment, there's a Muslim mosque on that Temple Mount. That will go. I'm not sure how, but that will have to go. See, the Jewish people won't settle for anywhere but the Temple Mount to rebuild their temple. And in 2016, you can go to the Temple Institute in the old city of Jerusalem, and you can see furnishings that they have made, the plans they have made. They are training priests today, and the Jewish people, Israel, in unbelief, is determined to rebuild their temple and to once again offer animal sacrifices. This is prophecy in the fulfilling. And for those of us that will join us to our trip to Israel, we will be visiting the Temple Institute. And we will be visiting the Mount of Olives. It's going to be exciting. But my point is simply this. God's Word is true. And within 40 years of our Lord spelling out to those disciples, this temple will be destroyed. It was destroyed. And Israel, in unbelief to this very day, is determined to rebuild their temple. And during the tribulation period, that temple will be rebuilt. Because they believe that it must be rebuilt for God's people to have a point of worship, of formal worship. But we, as Bible-believing Christians, worship God not at a wall, not in a temple. We worship God in spirit and in truth, because for those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we worship God in spirit and in truth. The Jews in unbelief worship at a wall. And we'll experience that, those that will join us for our trip in February. We'll note the sincerity. And it might even be a little bit emotional when you note the sincerity that takes place at this wall. But blessed be God that in Jesus Christ we can worship God in spirit and in truth. We can worship Him anywhere, anytime, because your body, my body as a child of God, is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And my friend, this morning the Bible warns us that the body of this earthly temple will be destroyed in due time. Jerusalem was destroyed within 40 years of our Lord's words. Destruction is coming. My friend, your body is breaking down. Death is imminent for all mankind. Are you prepared to meet your Creator? For it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, the Bible teaches us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And just like our Lord Jesus foretold of the fact that this temple, though it looks pristine, though it looks glorious, and certainly it was glorious from point to point, God said there will not be a stone There will not be a stone left standing. This city, this temple of yours that you worship will be destroyed. And it was destroyed within 40 years. And my friend, this morning, let me warn you that the temple of your body needs to become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it cannot become the temple of the Holy Ghost until you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Your body will be destroyed. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, the Bible teaches us. But for those of us that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, oh, glory be to God, that we don't need to stand before a wall to worship God. We don't need to start World War III, so to speak, to build our own temple. We can worship God in spirit and in truth, day in, day out, anywhere, anytime. That's the hope of the child of God. Your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Is your body the temple of the Holy Ghost this morning? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Oh, beloved, let me encourage you. Please make that decision. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Because just like Jesus said, this temple will be destroyed, my friend, your body will be destroyed. It's only a matter of time. So the Lord Jesus answered that initial question, tell us, when shall these things be? And God gave a description of the destruction that will take place by the Gentiles, by the Romans, in fulfillment of the words of the eternal Son of God. Let's note the next question that they asked there in Matthew chapter 24. They asked our Lord, when shall these things be? When will the temple be destroyed? And note the next question, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? What shall be the sign of thy coming? Tell us, Lord, concerning the destruction of the temple. Or what shall be the sign of thy coming? And this question is answered from verses 27 down to verse 32-33. For the sake of time, let's read verses 29 and 30, please. It reads, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So the question was asked, when shall or what shall be the sign of thy coming? And our Lord answered this question from verses 27 down to verse number 33. Now this is in reference to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. This is in reference to His second coming. Now the Lord Jesus came the first time, His first coming, to save sinners from sin, death and hell, through His virgin birth. And very shortly, the world, at least much of the world, will set time aside to reflect upon the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin to save sinners. That was the whole purpose of His first coming. But it is with this event that our Lord Jesus, the second coming of Christ, the Bible teaches us that I will come again, and the disciples understood that Jesus Christ will go and will come again. And they said, When will it be? When will it be? When will the second coming be? So Jesus Christ came the first time to save man from sin. He's coming again, my friend, the second time with the saints. And it is with this event that our Lord Jesus will set up His reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And for those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we will return with Jesus Christ at this time. And we will reign with Jesus Christ on the earth in the land of Israel. This 1,000-year reign, we will reign with Christ over the land of Israel. And for those that are coming next February to Israel, we're taking a trip to note our permanent home. Amen. We're going to be reigning with Christ. Head office will be Jerusalem. Over the land of Israel, we will reign with Christ for 1,000 years, the Bible teaches us. This is the second coming of Christ. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 19, please. Revelation chapter 19. Listen, by the way, do you want God to bless you? Yes or no? Read the book of Revelation. At least yearly. There is a blessing attached to this book. That's free. That's... Okay, let's get back to the sermon. Revelation chapter 19, 11 to 16, it reads, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven," that's you and I in Christ Jesus, "followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." This is in reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when the disciples asked the question, "When shall be the sign of thy coming?" And Jesus Christ is coming again the second time, the Bible teaches us, with his saints to rule upon the earth. See, this was the focus of the Old Testament saints. And it's important that we understand that as the Lord Jesus addressed the questions of the disciples, he was addressing the Jewish mindset, the Jewish people. And throughout the Old Testament scriptures, the Bible makes reference to the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Son of God. For example, note there in Zechariah, please, chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14 in the Old Testament. It's just before the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah, Malachi, Zechariah chapter 14, please. Zechariah chapter 14. Note here, in the third and fourth verse, Zechariah had a lot to say about the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, they had a lot to say about his first coming as well. Look at verse number 3, it reads, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle." This is in reference to the battle of Armageddon that will end the tribulation period and ignite the second coming of Christ back to the earth with the people of God, the saints of God. Note verse number 4. "And his feet shall stand in that day." Upon where? Upon where? Mount of Olives. Amen. This is where our Lord answered the disciples' question. And by the way, in Acts chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, the Bible teaches us that our Lord ascended back to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And the second coming of Christ will be on the Mount of Olives. Let's read on. I'm getting excited. Verse number 4. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south." The Mount of Olives will split in two at the second coming of Jesus Christ, just to introduce and welcome the eternal Son of God into the world to set up his 1,000-year reign. He descended back to glory from the Mount of Olives. Pardon me, he descends onto the Mount of Olives, the same place where he ascended from the Mount of Olives. This is in reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, go to Revelation chapter 20, please. Revelation chapter 20. The end of verse number 4, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 4, the Bible reads, "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. 1,000 years. So the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" And then from verses 29 of Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus made reference to his second coming. His second coming. And my friend, this morning, for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we can worship God in spirit and in truth, anywhere, anytime. And the Bible teaches us there is coming a day in which the Lord Jesus Christ will come the second time to the earth. Rest his feet upon the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will split in two. We will return with Christ, and then we will reign with Christ upon the earth for 1,000 years. What a day that will be. But my friend, this morning, in order to return with him, we must be in him. You've got to be with him in order to return with him. Am I right or not? And the Bible teaches us in John 1:11, "He came to his own received him not." That's in reference to the nation of Israel. As a people, they have rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That's why they're wanting to go back and rebuild their temple, because they rejected the Messiah, the eternal Savior of the world. "He came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." And if you are a son of God, if you are a child of God, you can look forward to the fact that one day you will be a part of the second coming of Christ. and you will come back with Christ and you will witness the Lord Jesus Christ defeat the Antichrist and all of his army there in the Battle of Armageddon. And then God will set up the 1,000-year reign, and the Bible teaches us that we will reign with Him. What a wonderful hope. Listen carefully to Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 32. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So Jesus Christ will reign following his second coming. And we will return with him, for those of us that are children of God. Now before his second coming, our Lord answers the third question there in Matthew chapter 24, where the disciples asked of the end of the world, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" There is a period of judgment that will take place that will precede the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I can assure you, for those of us that are in Jesus Christ, for those of us that can say, "Yes, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost," I can assure you, based upon the authority of the Word of God, you will escape that judgment day. That season of judgment known as the tribulation period. Because God hath not appointed us a day of wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we can look forward to the second coming of Christ. We can look forward to coming back with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The eternal Word of God. The eternal Word of God. And in His return, we will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But as I said previously, in order to return with Him, we must be first and foremost be in Him. Are you in Christ? Or shall I say, is Christ in you? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Are you in Christ? Yes, we will escape judgment. Verses 4 all the way through to verse number 26 makes reference to this judgment period that we'll look at next Sunday morning, Lord willing, unless He returns. But child of God, 2 Timothy 2:12 reads, "If we suffer, we shall reign with Him." And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we don't look for signs as such today. We look for the Saviour, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. We look for the Saviour. We look for the Saviour. Judgment is coming. But God has not appointed you and I in Christ Jesus a day of judgment. We've been saved from the wrath to come. But we can look forward to being with Christ. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And we can look forward to the fact that one day, as a blood-bought child of God, I will return on a white horse with Christ. The second coming of Christ, to reign with Christ over the earth for 1,000 years. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ.
But in order to be a part of that, you better make sure that you're in Christ. You can't come back with Christ if you are not with Christ. Does that make sense? You've got to be with Christ in order to return with Christ. And that's the issue of salvation. Are you a Christian? Is your body the temple of the Holy Ghost? Though our outward man perish, spiritually we can be renewed little by little, but yet we look forward to that glorious day in which we will be changed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can look forward to that glorious day of returning with Jesus Christ to the Mount of Olives and witnessing firsthand that mount split in two. What a glorious day that's going to be. That's our hope. And my friend this morning, in order to return with Him, you better make sure that you are in Him. You can't come back with Him unless you are with Him initially. And that's the issue of salvation. And for those of us that are in Christ, oh, may God help us. As we look forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, that teaches us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. 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 I say godly in this present wicked, evil world. The people might see in us the hope of glory. Jesus Christ. Because just like Jesus Christ said, that temple will be destroyed, so likewise, my friend, the body will be destroyed. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. But may God help us as the people of God to live godly in Christ Jesus and to reflect the hope which is ours in Christ Jesus, the second coming of Christ, that we might reign with Him for 1,000 years. May God add His blessing to His word this morning. Let's bow for prayer.